passage is Matthew's Gospel. Many Christians, whether Britain or Korea, still we're trying to read Bible, don't we? So people use the everyday reading throughout the year. Whether you have failed or succeed, the beginning of New Testament, Matthew Gospel, chapter 5 is well-known passages, in fact, whether young Christians or Christians who've been for a long time. So it's good to bring this passage because it's very important. We can be just skip through without thinking much. But as I study, as I read, it's such a blessing to know this truth. So that's why I'm going to share with you. I'm sure you know it already, but it's all good to add to our knowledge to know the gospel and Jesus Christ. This morning I was asking you, are you happy? Are you blessed? Often the people seeking true happiness or blessing from elsewhere. Often we realize that on a street or around you who doesn't know Christ personally, their happiness is in beauty, wealth, and possessions. But we know that true blessing comes from the good news of Jesus Christ. Having personal relationship with the Son of God, only begotten Son Jesus Christ, who died and who rose from the dead. I personally use this word, God bless you, a lot. On my card, and even text messages, as well as on a street when we go out, I say, God bless you. And I use this words two different ways. If they don't know Christ as a personal Savior, that God may have mercy on them. That's what it means. Secondly, if they know Christ personally and having Him as a Savior and Lord, and may God continue to bless you. That's how I use God bless you. You know, in 1570, this goodbye was originated. First time people were beginning to use in 1570. Because it's a goodbye is short words for God bless you or God be with thee. So because there were a lot of plague, pestilence. So if someone cough, sorry, Steve, cough or sneeze, that means the person got it. Only God can heal them. God bless you. Goodbye. That's how it's been used. But you know how I use it. God bless you. It's just a good word. We live in this modern day. There are so many things happening in and around the world. It could trouble us as a concern about the country and the society, even relationships and families. It was in a way similar with the day of Jesus when his disciples lived 2,000 years ago. Jesus told his disciples, in spite of persecutions, as we read at the end of our passage, the last blessing is about persecution, isn't it? And he added on how they were persecuted, or they will be persecuted. I mean, in fact, these days, the Britain is exception. Throughout the world, there are many countries severely being persecuted, Christians. So, just as well as 2,000 years ago, as well as now, this passage is encouraging to us and blessing. Jesus said in the Bible, many references that Jesus said to his disciples, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And also he added, rejoice, because you have eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ, of course. That's what's the theme of this blessing, the Beatitudes, is about. A blessing is not just a physical, material blessing God, Jesus was talking about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, offers people eternal life. Why? Because Father in heaven loves you and I so much, therefore, the Son also loves us. The teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel gives us very important message as a citizens of heaven, but also it's a message that gives invitation to people who are not yet belong to the Christ or Kingdom of God. In this sense, Jesus came to earth to offer us the true blessing of heaven. That is good news, in fact. This is why Jesus came 2,000 years ago in the town of Bethlehem to bless you and bless me. One of the many Bible verses used at Christmas time is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among those who are pleased. The angels praising God's plan of salvation, which accomplished through Messiah Jesus Christ, who came to earth. This song sings the glory that will ultimately fulfilled on the cross 2,000 years ago. Anyone who truly believes in Jesus is free from sin and enjoys true freedom or peace. When Jesus began his ministry, he taught his disciples through the Sermon on the Mount to what true blessing is. Blessing and happiness is what people usually seek, but only Jesus Christ can give us true blessing and happiness. That's what Psalm 4 is talking about. Most people think that blessed people are those who possess expensive materials, the rich in the world, and well respected with the high esteem and treated by people around with the honor. But in fact, Jesus gives hope to those people who have no hope in the world, but hope that is in heaven through Jesus Christ. This is good news. And this is also comforting to those who are marginalized on earth, the least, the last, and the lost. These teachings of Jesus is for the disciples who left everything to follow their Master, Jesus Christ. Now even they can get rid of the discouragement of the world because they accept the good news of Jesus Christ, which is eternal hope of heaven. That's why at the end of each blessing, there is Kingdom of Heaven. Or they will be comforted, or they will be filled as context with the heavenly things, not earthly things. I'm going to go through four blessings this time. If I was given more opportunities, I'll go through other four. So let's begin with the first blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is Kingdom of Heaven. The word blessing is not just a mere emotional happiness, but ultimate well-being and distinctive spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. As I said this morning, the Esheru, this word used in this original Greek language is Makarios. Poor in spirit. Contrast to the spiritual proud and self-sufficient. In other words, a person who is poor in spirit is humble before God's grace and mercy. Kingdom of heaven is not something we can be earned. It is more gift than a reward. People who are poor in spirit, they have nothing to boast except the goodness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, so that no one can boast, because it is gift of God. People who are poor in spirit don't have any hope in this broken world, but true hope in heaven. That doesn't mean we can live whatever and however we like. Not at all. We're living here and now the best we can for the future to come, here and now. Whatever God has graciously given to us, we take care as the stewards of it. What does the 1 Corinthians say? Chapter 10, verse 31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Our thoughts, our attitudes, motivations, words and actions, and life for the glory of God. Second, the blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. People mourn for many reasons: sickness, pain and bereavement, material loss and wounded pride, etc. In our text, however, basically, it's a different kind of mourning. It is mourning of those who recognize their spiritual bankruptcy. Mourn over both personal and corporate sins. Bible promises for those who mourn for their sins. On the day in heaven, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things passed away. And generally, in general, you can think that a pleasant, positive person is a blessed person. But Jesus says that the mourner is blessed. How irony is that? He says that those who are sad because of their sins, they'll be comforted with real joy of salvation and forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, for godly sorrows produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly sorrow produces death. If we are belong to God's kingdom, we must repent for our sins. Also, we must mourn for the suffering of others. As the world perishing without God, without good shepherds, just as Jesus saw Jerusalem and wept. We must have compassion for those souls who are perishing and without Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we prayed for the Wuhan as well as other countries which are affected by the virus. Those who are poor in heart and contrite heart will find comfort and satisfaction in the good news of Jesus. There is no satisfaction, in fact, in the materialistic world, that nothing in the world can fill our empty hearts. And only our Savior Jesus Christ, an eternal hope of heaven. He who possesses heaven possesses the greatest blessing and is the happiest person on earth. Thirdly, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. There is a little difference between poor in heart and being meek. Nevertheless, there is a slight distinction. The first one, the attitude is poor in spirit. Poor in spirit describes the more he is himself, has nothing to boast or looking forward for the future. But the meek, the attitudes, were as he is brokenhearted. For his sin as he mourns. This picture is being repented heart, definitely in the relationship to God. Well, Bible describes a lot of what meekness is about. Described in the Bible, especially James, book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." And chapter 1, verse 21, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with the meekness that implanted the word, which is able to save your souls." By the way, the meek person is not a weak person, but a person who leaves everything behind in the hand of God, who loves and cares. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I am gentle and lovely heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All the more does he do this because he has died to all self-righteousness. He knows that he cannot claim any merit before God, since God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between holy God and sinful man. The third one, meek, this beatitude is taken from Psalm 37, verse 11. David here contrasts between wicked and the meek. "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." This morning we heard that the wicked will perish, but blessed, the righteous one will prosper. Here the land is a promised land, a new heaven and earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. The meek bride inherits all the blessings of the husband. Fourth, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled and satisfied. Righteousness here is not generally good deeds or act of kindness, but whatever good in God's eyes. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." The desires of the people who belong to God is not the wealth and the material things of the world, but the state of aspiration to seek God's kingdom and the righteousness of God. What happened when Adam and Eve desired what was forbidden in the Garden of Eden? They fell into temptation and rebelled against God and eternally condemned and cursed. What we ought to do is just the same as the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. "Our Father who art in heaven, let your name be glorified, and your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is our desire. Seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, and his glory be displayed on this earth. Jesus said also in John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 34, when disciples came back from the town buying some food, this is a story or account of Samaritan woman at the well. Disciples said to Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." And Jesus said, "My food is to do will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John 6:35, he also said that, "I am the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I am emphasizing God's word, because these days, church is not emphasizing enough of God's word. Man's feeling and their self-righteousness, their ways is the what they think is what God wants. You might say, how can we do that, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness? To do this, we must hunger and thirst for the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1, as we looked this morning, "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." So he meditates day and night. The writer of Psalm confessed that the blessed man delights in the word of God and meditates in the day and night. Psalm 42, verse 2, "My soul yearns for God, the living God." This is spiritual hunger. Just like when Jesus was fasting for 40 days, he was tempted by Satan. Jesus, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God." As people make New Year's resolution, don't they? Roughly, regularly meditate God's word and pray that the Lord's kingdom come and his righteous works to be done on earth. We go out every week faithfully, team of us, the open air. There are so many needy people, but I don't know why church doesn't go out much and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't know the word of God. The soul freedom they enjoy, self-righteousness. But we know that we are sinners, but saved by God's grace through faith. But then we know how much important to share God's good news with others. I know some of you here, you go out regularly and preach, and some of them have been done that before as well, schools and so on. It's important. We shouldn't give up on. God hasn't given up on either. Why should we? So we should continue to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. The Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." We cannot serve two masters. The world passing away. As I said this morning, we should enjoy what God has given us. Health and wealth. But it's not everything that we seek. That's not the main thing that we are here for. The English translation uses the Greek word mammon. When Bible talks about, Jesus talks about, you cannot serve money and master. The money here is being used mammon instead of money. Why? Some versions I know they used money, but mammon is more accurate words. This mammon is generally compared to the devil who governs greed and wealth and dishonesty. This is why we believe that loving money is the root of all evil. In the Bible, money and riches are used to represent the world. That's what we see around, don't we? Especially Christmas time, consumerism, material things. People seek their health and wealth. Well, of course we need health. But wealth and success in the world. Where do they end up? Korea, Japan, higher suicide rates. Even young children, it's sad. Every exam time, like a GCSE, young children's suicide rates up high. Because they can't cope the pressure, the failure. They are behind the worldly desires. It's sad. That's what the devil wants, doesn't it? The loving money that is making it goal and purpose of life, rather than a means of life, is the beginning and basis of all sin. Because it destroys the faith and conscience that leads to salvation and enable to love others. The pursuit of human wealth, like a pleasure pursuits, eventually leads to an unsatisfied thirst to make man selfish and competitive. It leads people into the way of sin and abandon their faith. No matter how much money is in your bank account and possessions and expensive materials, only Jesus can fill our deepest hunger and thirst of our lives. This evening, quite short time of sharing the God's word, and I'd like to share a bit about open air and other things briefly. As I said this morning, we go out about 6-7 different towns and cities around the South Wales. It's such a challenging. I mean, every time we go out, we write that down, who we met and the name, as well as what happened. There are ridiculously so many people, whether they're addicted to drugs or they tell a story as well, what happened in their family. The person who he married or she married and addicted to drugs and all sorts of other things. As well as self-harm and well, other things, and prison in and out, and who trying to commit suicide, attempt to commit suicide. And they needed Christ in their lives. The money cannot save them. Money cannot help them. Well, they need, of course, money and shelter. But we are doing our best to share with them. We give the literature, Bible, and pray with them and counsel with them. We need more people on the street. More people like you and I. God can use us. God can use us. You know, Robert Germain Thomas, have you heard of him? Missionary to Korea in 1866 from church in Hanover Church near Abergavenny. He came when he was 27 in South Korea, nowadays North Korea capital city. That was his second visit. He was trained and ordained as a minister, and he was sent as a missionary to China and Korea. But the day he came to Korea at the port of present time, North Korea, the ship was stuck on a seabed. At the time, our government retaliated any foreign influence. So government warned them to leave. But they insist to come because it's a large ship, and they thought, what can they unlearned people do to them? But actually, when they were stuck on a seabed, they couldn't move. So the Korean Navy shot the arrow with the fire and to destroy. So a lot of them were captured. And Thomas, missionary Thomas, he threw a couple of Bibles on the seashore before he was captured and brought to seashore, and he was killed. Before he was killed, he handed the Bible over to an officer who was going to take his life. In his language, Korean, he learned, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In such a face that after he was killed, and the officer took the Bible and walked away. And he didn't know what it was, because he could read the Chinese translation. By reading that book, he became a Christian. He became a believer of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible was used as a wallpaper in an inn. And people come and read, and they become a Christian. So the first generations of those people who had that Bible became an elder of church, and that's where revival started. One life that given at the seashore brought spiritual prosperity in South Korea. That man, the Tertullian, said the church will stand on the blood of martyrs. That's what we are now. So that's why I am here as well, as many other Korean missionaries in this part of Wales. Your life can be used for God if you're willing. If you give yourself to the Lord, Lord will use you. And I want to finish now by reading. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and end. Amen. Amen. We'll sing last hymn, 669.
Melt with sympathy clean from the defiling powers of sin. With endless pleasures they shall see a God of spotless purity. Blessed are the men of peaceful life who bend the clothes of growing strife. They shall be called the eyes of bliss, the sons of God, the God of peace. Blessed are the sufferers of the day, of pain and shame for Jesus' sake. Their soul shall triumph in the Lord, glory and joy are their reward.
Let's pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves to you, nothing to boast about, nothing to proud, but Lord, make us wholly thine and use us for your glory. Thank you for bringing us together as the children of God and brothers and sisters together to worship you and fellowship with each other. Continue to strengthen us and be with us and protect us. We shall glorify you evermore. Let's say grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.